And it hadn't changed, only gotten better. I believe it ought to get mellow. I believe it ought to get sweeter. I believe it ought to get better every night. And that's what God wants to do, and I believe He will, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you have your Bible, to 2 Peter and chapter 1. While you're turning, let me say a couple of things. Brother Ralph Sexton's going to preach after I finish, and I'll say a word about that in just a moment. I've persuaded him to preach on something that I believe that one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard in my life. And he's going to preach on that right after I finish, so I'll not take too much time, but I ask him to preach on the knowledge of God. And if you have never heard the knowledge of God, then you're in for one of the greatest treats that you've ever been in. I remember I was over at Brother Raff's church, and he said to me, he said, Brother Mace, I can't throw that flagpole. We was over in the Jubilee, and it got right one night. I mean, it got right. You talk about it getting right. And Ralph was preaching, and he jumped up and threw me the flagpole. And I mean, we was having a time around that.
Amen.
And I went and tried to find him, and he was way up under the choir. And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, call a recess, and let's shout 30 more minutes. Hallelujah. So, that's the way it gets on, brother, just shout 30 more minutes.
Yes.
I believe Brother God will do something, and if we let Him, and He wants to do that, and I'm praying that He will. Brother Sammy said 20 years ago, and I'll tell you what Sammy did not say. And I laughed about it, and I told my wife, Sammy heard me preach on Jailhouse Rock. He remembers that, Jailhouse Rock.
Yes.
But also, in that meeting, I preached on the woman that died doing the twist. And he's never mentioned that. You know who that woman was? Lot's wife. She twisted and turned into a pillar of salt. Say amen right there. But Sammy always tell about that. He'll say, I heard old Mays preach on Jailhouse Rock. But he never mentioned that woman, so maybe next time he will. And I love Brother Sammy, and I'm sure that you do. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and we're glad for His presence tonight. I have several sermons dealing with the Lordship of Christ and the Lord, and I want to preach on one of them tonight. And from this chapter, I want you to look with me. I'm going to have you to stand in just a few moments for the reading of the Scripture. But before we stand, let me say, Simon Peter was writing to the Christians that were scattered, that were under pressure. Now, I've never seen a time when God's men have been under pressure like they are today. If you're God's man and you're standing in a gap, brother, you're under pressure. I mean, there's all kinds of pressure, all kinds of torment is breaking loose on the men of God. And you say, I'm not having a hard time. You're a compromiser then. Say amen. Now you put that down. Man standing for God, brother, he's going to have to suffer a little bit. I mean, he'll be persecuted. He'll be lied on. And he'll have a hard time. So he's writing. And in this first chapter, he talks about things to add. Oh, I tell you, you ought to get something different every night. Praise God, just add to it. He talks about these virtues. And then he goes over and he said, I want to talk about dying. I want to talk about when I die. Boy, that's a blessing to think about when you die. I mean, it's gain. That's what Paul says. You say, preacher, I'm afraid to die. You're saved. You ought to be afraid to die. Oh, I'm glad. And Simon Peter said, I want to tell you, I'm going to die, and I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something after I'm dead. And if you have that, keep that in mind. And I want you to look with me at verse 15 of the first chapter of 2 Peter, and we'll stand for the reading of the Scripture, please. Will you stand all of the house with me? Let's read the Scripture. As I read the Scripture, note with me, please. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And notice what he said. He said, after I die, I want you to remember some things. And beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful after we leave this world that people could say, I'll tell you, I remember old Sammy Allen. I remember old Mace Jackson. I remember those fellows that carried the torch and preached the word. I remember that little preacher out there in the forts where nobody ever heard of. But brother, he's faithful to the word of God. We ought to leave some memories for people to think about after we're gone. Simon Peter said, I want you to remember after my decease. Now he said, for we have not thought of cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. I want you to see what he said, honor and glory. When there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Now let me stop there. I know you're not supposed to stop there at the colon, but let me stop there just a minute. Let me tell you something. Well, I'm glad I got this book now with all that's happening today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Wouldn't it be good if Mr. Begin and Mr. Carter and Mr. Sadat would go to the book?
Amen.
Why, they wouldn't be in such a tailspin if they'd go to the book. I mean, they wouldn't be so confused. And I'll tell you something else. Brother, some of our churches that go to the book and know that what God says is so, we wouldn't be in a bad shape there. Say amen. We wouldn't be. But he said, "I want you to see something. We have a light that shineth in a dark place." Now notice verse 20. "Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Did you know tonight, as you look down, hold this book in your hand, holy men of old, as the Holy Ghost moved upon them, wrote this book. And this is not your word, my word, it's God's word. And this word shall abide forever. But I want you to notice something, then we're going to be seated. Verse 17 again, please. He's talking, Simon Peter, about God the Father. And he said, "For he," talking about the Lord, "received from God the Father honor and glory." He said, "I want you to know that Jesus Christ received honor and glory." Now, I want you to be seated, beloved, all over the house, if you will. I want you to bow for just a word of prayer, and in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight as the Lord will speak to our hearts. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you pray? Would you ask the Holy Ghost to speak to you? I tell you, if God speaks tonight, it'll be a wonderful experience here. To begin the camp. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, what a blessing it is to come into thy house and to worship in spirit and in truth. And our Father, we thank thee for this camp. We thank thee for our brother Sammy that's been faithful down through the years. I pray that you'll continue to bless him. Oh, God, may this camp grow and multiply. I pray that the world might see that there's something going on over here on these sacred grounds. I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Not only tonight, but in the morning, tomorrow night. I pray, our Father, that every service may be saturated with the power of the Spirit of God. And may we sit in heavenly places. May we be moved by thy Spirit tonight. We know except the Spirit of God moves, the service would be in vain. So I pray that tonight you'll have your way. Bless Brother Sexton as he'll come with that great message. And now, Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you tonight on "Let's Behold His Glory." Now, I don't know about you, but I love the glory. I've always been with the glory crowd. I've always pushed the glory and been glad when it would come. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I'm scared of the glory. Why be afraid of the splendor and the majesty of the Lord?" Simon Peter said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I remember when I was out there on that mountain with him. I handled him. I got close to the glory." He said, "It's not a fable," but he said, "I know the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." And what a blessing this was as a testimony. I'm glad a few times I've been in the glory. And I want to tell you, it's just like heaven. When you get in the glory, praise God, you'll not worry about income tax. When you get in the glory, you'll not worry about tomorrow. When you get in the glory, praise God, you'll not be disturbed about the things of this world. But the glory is a blessed experience. I want you to see what Simon said. He said, first, he said, "I want you to remember something after I'm dead." He said, "When you pass by where I'm buried, or you pass by my casket," he said, "remember something." You say, "Preacher, what did he say?" Well, let me give you three things he didn't say. He didn't say, "Remember that I was the preacher that preached on the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 were saved." He didn't
say I was the man that even walked on the water. I don't know anybody walking on water, but I want you to know, Simon Peter said, I don't want you to remember that. He said, I don't want you to remember that I was the man that walked out of that prison when they killed James and is going to kill me the next day. Oh, he said, the gates opened up. But he said, I'll tell you what I want you to remember. Remember that one day he took me on the holy mount. One day, thank God, I beheld his glory. And what a blessing it is tonight to behold his glory. I'm glad when you're down and when you're depressed and when you're defeated and when the deacons are all against you, God will slip you out somewhere and let you peek over and get a glimpse of the glory of God. And brother, for glory, it's a wonderful thing just to behold his glory. Let me say something. Usually his glory appears, I mean, when you're tired. I mean, when everything looks like it's turned against you. Old Moses had been upon the mount, and the Bible says he came down. And when he came down, they were naked, and they were dancing, and they were worshiping the golden calf. And Moses was disturbed, and he cried, who's on the Lord's side? It's time, preachers, brother. Preach who's on the Lord's side in this day in which we live. If you're on God's side, you ought to stand up and be counted. But you say, preacher, what happened? He got discouraged. And in the next chapter, you know what he said? He said, show me thy glory. Oh, he said, I'm so tired. I've seen all this sin. And he said, I'd like to get a peek of the glory. And God said, come on the mountain. I'm going to let you stand by me on that mountain. You're going to stand on the rock. I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, I'm going to show you a little bit of glory. And brother, the Lord passed by. And he put his hand over Moses' eyes. And he said, Moses, you can't look on my face. He said, look at my back. And if God passed by old Moses, look at the back of God. I'll tell you, Mr. God gave him a glimpse of his glory. That's that awful experience. And then we look in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when after old Solomon had worked and toiled to build the most magnificent building, I can see him weary and well-doing. And I can see him going that simple. He said, I'm going to pray the dedicatorial prayer. And God, if you will, just let us see a little glory. And the Bible said when Solomon prayed that the house was filled with the glory of God. I want to tell you something, mister. You talk about the kind of glory. It was so strong in that house until the people, they couldn't go in. They'd just stick their head in and pass out and say, the glory of God is so strong in this place. You can't go in, thank God. You say, preacher, listen. And then I can see one other. He went to the casket. He said, well, King, I'll be seeing you. And that year he went to the temple and saw the Lord high and lifted up. And old Isaiah said, whoa, it's me. When he cried, whoa, it's me. He heard him crying, holy, holy. That scared some Baptists to death right there. Holy, holy, holy. And when he heard them, the seraphims and cherubims were crying, holy, holy. And you know what they said? Said the whole earth is filled with his glory. And I praise God tonight for the glory. But you say, preacher, where can we find the glory? Where can we see the glory? Let me mention three places that you can't find it. First, you can't find it in a modernistic church. There's no glory there. Those God's deniers and that modernistic crowd that would tear down the scriptures, you'll not see the glory. But here's the second place where you'll not see the glory. You'll not see it in some of these dried and cut dried fundamentalist churches. Bless God, let me tell you something. They've come off a little below, but if the power of God were to hit us, I want to tell you something. You scare them to death, and they don't want the glory. I like it, glory to God. I like to be around where God's glory is and where you can get in to the glory of God. What a blessing. I'll tell you a third place you can't find it. You can't find it in this modern, contemporary, hippie-type church either. Say amen. I don't believe God's going to put his glory on a bunch of long-haired, whiskered guys in the house of God. How till he drops and until he's going. In some of these places, brother, that's all, listen, it's pattern the world, it's after the world. But I want to tell you, that man that walks in the holy pulpit and begins to lift Jesus up and the glory begins to fill that place, there's where you'll find the glory. Amen. But I want to give you seven places real quickly, and I won't take long, where you can find the glory. First of all, you can find it in a cradle 1,900 years ago. Oh, I'm so glad there's a supernatural baby in that cradle. It's a manger bed. You say, preacher, I'm glad it's born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. No wonder when the heavenly hosts looked down, you know what they said? They said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I'm glad, praise God, that heavenly host cried, hath glory. I'm glad they recognized the glory. Bible said in John 1, it said, grace and truth were kissed and made full. And the scripture said, the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, it talks about without controversy. Oh, there's no arguing about it. Great is the mystery of godliness, how that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, a scene of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. I want to tell you, when you talk about that child, it's a blessing. Oh, what a blessing, this little child. To see, he had fingernails, but he was God. He had eyelashes, but he was God. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm glad he came and wrapped himself in a human body. And thank God he manifested the glory of God in that field. A little later, up in Jerusalem, as an old man, he was just. And Simeon said, I tell you what I'd like to do before I die, Father. I'd like to see a little glory. And praise God. They brought him the baby Jesus, and he took that baby Jesus in his hands, and he said, mine eyes have seen the glory of Israel. Father, he saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, my friend, you'll find the glory of the Lord in a cradle or a manger bed. Number two, you'll find the glory of God in a Christian. I remember when I was a little boy, how you see them old saints come in, and boy, they'd pass me, and I was lost. I want to tell you, Brother Matt, I'd say, boy, there's something strange about them. You know what's wrong? They had the glory all over them, bless God. That's right. I want to tell you, Brother, they had the glory. I'm glad the Bible says in Psalm 21, verse 5, it says these words, his glory is great in thy salvation. Oh, I remember the night God saved me, I saw more glory than I've ever seen in my life. Woo! You talk about a time. I can take you to 6 inches where God saved me. I saved in North Carolina State University, room 813 C dormitory. I went back up there a few months ago, about a year ago now. I knocked on that door. That old dormitory's getting old. And a guy smoking a pipe. He'd be a good deacon somewhere. Say amen right there. Lord God, he's on fire. But you know, I walked in there, and he said, can I help you? I said, yes, sir. Right over there, mister, is where grace and truth kiss my soul. And God put a pardon on my soul. And he saved me. And right over there, brothers, where the glory first appeared unto me. I'm glad that night, listen to me, about 8:45 on a Friday night, Jesus saved me so good, I've never gotten away. And I saw the great glory of the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. In the Christian, my friend, it's wonderful you can see the glory of God. Well, that night God saved me. I didn't wait to get a rocket to go out yonder. I cut dinos in the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. Praise God, I've been out there swinging off of the glory. And what a blessing it was. I never forget, I went over and called my mother. And, make a long story short, she finally answered. And she said, hello? And I said, Mother! That operator said, 80 cents, please. I said, excuse me, ma'am. And boy, I put that money in there. And mother said, Mace, are you sick? I said, no, I'm S-A-V-E-D, saved. You say, what happened? I think she hung up, but I heard her shout 200 miles just the same. Woo! You talk about it. Brother, Father in the Christian, you can see the glory of God manifested. I'm glad you can see that glory. What a blessing it is. Moses went upon the mountain. 34th chapter of the Bible said he came back and he had so much God on him till they had to put a veil over his face. And they had to hide the glory that was popping out of his voice. Boy, we ought to leave this camp this week with so much God on us and so much glory in us. I'm saying they'd have to take us a veil and say we can't stand it. We've got to hide your face. There's so much glory that penetrates from your face. What a blessing that would be. I never had but one little girl ever say anything to me about the glory around me. And she's down in Jamaica, and I told you about the story. But oh, I rejoiced in that. She said, "Preacher, while you was preaching, I saw the glory of God come upon you." I said, "Listen, that's the greatest compliment I've ever had. I'd rather have God's glory encircle this pulpit, and I'm preaching, than anything in this world." But mister, you lose the glory and the shine of God on your face. In First Samuel it says, and they wrote Ichabod, the glory of God has departed from Israel. And you'll find a lot of Christians that used to have the glory, and boy, they don't have it anymore. I'd rather die than lose the glory of God. Woo! You say, "Brother Means, where can I see the glory?" You can see it in a cradle. You can see it in a Christian. You can see it in the cross. Oh, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross. You want me to tell you where you can see the glory? You slip up close to that old cross and hear the dripping of the blood. Woo! Father, you can see the glory of God in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. First time I went to Jerusalem many years ago, I took a ladder and put over there at that old skull. Climbed up there and God said to me, "You're not fit to walk on this ground." You know what I did? I got on my knees. I crawled a few places. I mean a few paces. I crawled. And then I was there calling Brother Matter. He got killed in the Six-Day War. His name was Solomon. He said, "Hey, Brother Mays." He said, "Did you know you're about 6 feet or 10 feet from where the blood came down, I believe." And the Holy Ghost said, "You're not fit to crawl on your knees. Get on your stomach." And boy, I got on my stomach. I laid flat down on my stomach. And I went across that old rock on my stomach. And when I got to the place where I thought the blood came down, you'll think it's silly. But I don't think it's silly. I said, "Lord, I can't do anything but just kiss the ground where the blood came down." And brother, when I kissed that ground, that place lit up around there. And I beheld the glory of the cross. And while I was down on my knees kissing that ground, I sang two songs my mother used to sing up here in the mountains. She'd sing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's for everyone, and there's a cross for me." And then she'd sing, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, but brotherless." I want you to know you can see the glory. The Bible says it gives you that great experience that the disciples had on the Mount of Transfiguration. But only Luke tells you the glory of it. The disciples was there, Elijah here, Moses over here, and Jesus. And they got to talking. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the death and the burial and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Luke adds the glory of that old cross. And I'm glad tonight, mister, that I've been to Calvary and I've beheld the glory of the cross. Oh, the man that died was Jesus, and his blood was shed on that cross to redeem us. And you behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in Calvary. Yes, sir, at the cross where you first saw the light. I was reading the other day about the centurion. I couldn't figure. I said, "Lord, why did he cry out? Why did he cry out? Truly, this is the Son of God." Oh, he'd watched many a man die. He'd been there. He gave the command, "Kill him!" But you know what? I came to the conclusion. That old centurion looked up there and he saw something different. God veiled that cross with glory. And brother, he knew that this truly was a different death than he'd ever witnessed. He knew this death had glory upon it. My friend, it wasn't defeat. Thank God, it was the greatest victory the world has ever known. I want you to know tonight, you say, "Preacher, where can I see the glory?" You can see it at the cross. Number four, you can see it in the church. Somebody said the church is going down. I got news for you, it's going up. Oh, you say, Brother May, where can you see his glory in the church? Turn over in Revelation 1 and look at him walking in the midst of it. Glory to God in the midst of the seven churches. I'm glad he loved the church and gave himself for the church. And I want you to know, mister, that we can find glory in the church. In Ephesians, that great book, chapter 3, verse 21, it said, unto him glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church. I'm glad, my friend, every church that's true to God will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every church that's true to the New Testament will be bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing unto him be glory in the church. Now, I don't believe in these meetings outside the church.
No.
I don't believe in these coming out there and worshiping nature. I don't believe in these meetings that say we'll bypass the church. Because, my friends, I want you to know Jesus didn't bypass it. He's doing business through the church. And his glory will be manifested in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You know why? Because this church is going to marry him. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be wonderful. We're the bride. Well, listen, I want you to write down something tonight. You may disagree, but it's all right. Number one, everybody agrees who will be the bridegroom in that wedding. Jesus. Oh, won't that be wonderful when you look over there and the church sees the Son of God as the spotless bridegroom? Oh, it'll be wonderful. But you know who the best man will be? Somebody said, I don't know. Turn to John 3:29, you get home. I believe it'll be John the Baptist. I believe he'll be the best man. You know who'll be the one that the blessed presentation? You know who's going to present that church? Listen, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul said that I may present to him a chaste bride. I believe Paul will present the church. You say, well, do away with that verse of Scripture. It says it just as sure as the nose on your face. I was talking last week. Let me show you something. I was talking last week in the meeting. And here they are tonight. I said to the folks, I said, did you know the Antichrist will have a bad eye and a bad right arm? He said, no, we didn't. I said, the Bible said the Antichrist will have a bad eye. And every time I see old Dagon, he gets kind of under my skin. It's found in the 11th chapter book of Zechariah. Schofield says in verse 15, the beast in his judgment. And if you read down to verse 17, it said, and that beast or that idol shepherd, that Antichrist will have a bad eye and a bad arm. Oh, you say, preacher, I don't believe that kind of stuff. Well, it's right there in the Bible. You read it when you get home, and then let me know if it's not in the Scripture. Let me know if it's not so. I told those preachers, and they're here tonight. And they said, yes, sir, we see it, but we've never seen it before. Well, I many years ago, I saw that wedding. I said, praise God, you talk about glory. Oh, I remember when I got married, the glory. I got married in the first church I ever pastored. And I remember when my bride came down that aisle. But oh, let me tell you something. You talk about glory. You wait till the bride of Jesus comes down that aisle. And praise God, the church, it's going to be wedded to the Lord Jesus Christ.